I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Hello and welcome to Two in the Think Tank, the show. We come up with five
sketch
ideas. Oh, it's beautifully harmonized there.
Beautiful. I like that. I mean, technically...
Okay. Let's harmonize. I think you go low and I'll go high.
Okay, right. Ready? One, two,
I'm going to say five three. Sketch ideas. Okay, ready? Ready? Five, okay,
five sketch ideas. Now, technically, they're all harmonies. And it's just that some are easier to listen to. But, you know, in the right context, that you know, it just depends on what emotion you're trying to evoke.
Course, a lot of them, the emotion is discomfort and
exactly
a little bit of rage. I think, what about this? A shouting
that makes you angry?
Choir. No, it's a shouting choir. It's okay. Not singing, okay? It's a bunch of men, right? Yeah. And they get together and they all shout, but they shout like, you know, some shout high, some shout low. They're all doing, I think, the same rant, so they're all ranting.
And is this like something that you would hire to sort of yell at your children or something like that?
I think like a barbershop quartet where you could just hire them to go around and yell at somebody is really funny. I think
because it's what were those things? Those like singograms or like a singing telegram like that.
Yeah, well, this is a singing yellowgram.
Yeah, and so you know, and now that thing where people are like, you know, where they're really worried they're going to get yelled at. Mm. You know, when you know, like they're, you know, it's like you do something wrong in a shop or something like that, and you're like you accidentally break a vase or something like that, and then. Technically, you're not even supposed to have to pay for it a lot of the time, you know, but now shops have a way that they can then hire this and send it to your house later on and actually, you know, have somebody yell at you.
I think also we could sell this as like a men's thing, like a men's group, where like, you know, a lot of the ways that men used to express their emotions are not acceptable anymore. Okay.
That's right.
Men can't yell. It's too scary. Right? But now they can go to this group. They go along to the pub. They all get together in a big group. They stand up on a little stage. They're divided up into different groups depending on how loud and how deep their voice is. And then they all just yell together. And they do some of the famous rants, maybe. Maybe they could all yell the Democracy Manifest rant.
Would they yell, if you don't stop crying, I'll give you a bloody good reason to cry?
Yes. Oh, playing all the hits. The Great American Yell Book. All the favorites. Love that idea.
What's a yell that you've used before?
I shouldn't have to be yelling. That's...
Yeah,
that is part of every yell. I don't want to yell.
I
put that in there.
I don't want to yell either.
It makes it feel like it makes it feel more okay. I think if you make it clear to your kids, then it makes it their fault.
Yes,
right? It's their fault that Dad's yelling.
I know.
I've just realized I've just realized that's what I'm doing there. That's great, isn't it? That's really healthy. I'm sure that's doing the right thing for you.
I know.
I don't yell a lot. I don't want the listeners to think I yell a lot.
But then, you know, what's one way of framing it is that you got to remember that it's like smoking weed, Andy. Right?
Yeah.
You'd rather them experience it for the first time at home with you,
mm-hmm.
rather than out yeah. in the world with a bunch of kids or something like that, you know, where you're not around to protect them.
Yes. I saw my son yelling at his brother, and you know what I did?
What?
I made him yell the whole dictionary. I got the Oxford
I made
English.
Him yell a whole pack of cigarettes. The first cigarette, the second cigarette.
I love that you've gone through and tried to actually make that a reality. Yeah.
The third and fourth cigarettes.
Wow, that's like almost like he was smoking those two at the same time.
That's right. That's right.
I mean, what do you do if you're in the backyard? You go and you see your kid in the backyard. You see him smoking a whole pack of cigarettes. What do? Make him smoke a whole carton? So to teach him a lesson, yeah. I made him smoke a whole shop box that the shop gets them in. Is it a carton? Do you get a carton of cigarettes?
I think so, yeah. It's a whole carton. And,
and then I saw my son smoking a whole carton.
And then after that, it's a full
shipping container.
Oh, a crate, yeah, yeah. I was going for shipping container, but a crate makes more sense.
No, thank you.
Because you put the cigarettes in the crate, and then it's sealed up. So then you can hide some like illegal stuff in the crate.
Mm.
You know, they're not going to search that crate through cigarettes, which are almost already illegal. You know what I mean? Then you're not going to hide stuff. You're not going to like hide illegal stuff in something that's already controlled.
Mm.
But that's a
right.
Good
it's
idea.
Like a turducken of drugs. A turducken.
Yeah. Like, I guess
they
if you
think
were
that they've found your import quantity of marijuana in big blocks, like it's
big blocks.
Yeah,
big
some
block sing song.
Big block sing song. I do like the big block sing song. Those are really good songs on the big block sing song.
Yeah, and it looks like it's the least effort you would have to do to make a TV show.
Yeah, but also, there's a bit of skill, and
although
it is
still
impressive.
A bit of skill. But the animation
the
looks
skill,
like it
but
would
no
be.
Effort. That's what I like.
Yeah, it's skill with no effort. Exactly. You know, I mean, it took effort to get the skill.
If the listeners don't know what we're talking about, it's a TV show. They're 3-minute episodes. It's on ABC iView or probably somewhere in Montreal. And
yeah, I think it's definitely. I think it's made in Canada.
It's there you go. It's rectangle shaped people. Singing songs about strange stuff. Is there one about being a chicken?
I think
there's one about
being
chicken. And there's one about deep beneath the deep blue sea, all the things that we'll see. I really like that one as well.
All the things you'll see in the sea.
Mm. Anyway, yeah, that's a good show. Yeah. I wish I was writing on it, to be honest.
Well,
I think I could be a good songwriter, Alistair.
Me too. I genuinely might
be able to be the best songwriter.
I've recently been thinking about becoming a musician. Because I've been, you know what I was thinking about? Because I'm insane. Yeah. But it's because I there's a style of music that I love so much, which is kind of like these DJs that kind of, you know, sample stuff, but put it to like a hip hop beat. And, and I love it so much, which I think is probably based around like all the songs that we make on this, a lot of the time, I think essentially we're creating one little phrase and then repeating it over and over again.
Yeah,
we've been doing it for a long while. And so people like Blockhead and Mr. Scruff, but you don't find that much of that kind of music around anymore. And I was like, I should try and do some of that. Learn how to do it.
I've been thinking I should become a country musician. Because have you noticed that there's a few country musicians, guys, who are breaking through quite late in life with, you know, get like a little viral video, just something them sitting there singing a song, you know, and suddenly that's gone big on TikTok, and then bam, they are like on the ground and running. And I was listening to a top country playlist thing on Spotify the other day.
Yeah.
The top song at the moment is Beyonce's new song.
Yeah.
Which is very good.
Okay.
I love it. But
I haven't.
And then you go into like, what's number two? What's number three? What's number four? And I don't mean to sound dismissive, and I used to dismiss other people's taste in music, and say, you know, that things were really bad when it was just that I didn't like them at that stage in my life. I've realized now that everything is good. Everything is great. But
the
songs below Beyoncé's song on the top charts of country music, they're all shit. they just suck. They just so, like, there doesn't seem to be any talent involved. And that's very exciting to me.
You know how, like that's the entry point for...
I'm not saying I don't like them, by the way. I like them all.
Yeah,
I just think they're bad.
Yeah, yeah. No, but you know how, like, that's the entry point? Like, that's probably partially how you got into comedy. I know it's partially how I got it. You watch people and you go, wait, this is a professional? I could do that.
Yeah.
I could do better than that, right? I mean, that is essentially the same thing as being a business person who sees a gap in the market. I could make iced tea that's as good as this.
Yeah, I wonder if that's what business people think.
I think so.
That they could do something well, or if they think, I could just do this cheaper.
Yeah, I saw a TikTok other day where the guy was like, man, I've been seeing a lot of, like, I'm a runner, and I've been seeing a lot of, like, pickles around running, you know, recently. Like, people use it for, like, the electrolytes or something like that. And he's like, and I realized, I only know, like, two pickle brands. There's a huge gap in the market for a really well-marketed pickle.
He's right. Yeah.
But you know what? I think that I'm never, you know, as a businessman, I'm never going to wait for a gap in the market. What I'm going to do, my strategy, is I'm going to bomb the market and create a crater in which I will fill.
Yeah, great. What does bomb the market? What does that mean?
Well, I'm going to use an explosive device.
Oh, wow. Yeah, okay. I guess that's, in a way, that's what war is. People say war is good for business and that kind of thing. But it's probably because we blow up a lot of businesses and then people have to start new ones.
And people, but the demand is still there for a lot of those things, except for the people that you killed. Like, you know, the people that were in the factory that also bought the products, they're dead. They're gone.
But, I mean, the people who work in the factory, they probably didn't buy a lot of the products anyway because they were probably sick of them. You know, they see enough of that at work.
Yeah, and they got a factory discount.
You know what it's like when you come home.
Don't even finish your sentence. Yes, I know what it's like.
Great.
Okay.
You come home from a big day in the toilet paper factory, right?
Yeah.
And the last thing you want to do is wipe your ass.
Oh, absolutely. Right? Yeah.
I couldn't tear another sheet. I couldn't wipe another bite.
And this is how innovation happens, Andy. So what you do is you just squeeze your ass down low into that bowl. Yes, you're going to touch the shit that's in there. Yes. But you're also going to touch the water.
So you don't flush either.
No. And then you flush.
Oh, yeah. Great.
You see? Yep. And now you're getting some cleaning happening. Okay? And then you just keep flushing until you can sense it's probably clean. You know?
Do you think that, you know, there was that big campaign for is it like, a lot of the time it's toothbrushes, right? It's what toothbrush do dentists use, right? That'll be the thing in the ad, right? They're like, 97.3% of dentists use Oral-B.
What toilet paper do proctologists use?
Exactly, Alistair.
Yeah, I'm writing it down straight away.
Because I mean, they've seen a lot of, I imagine, really chafed anuses.
I mean, right? I wonder how many how many specialists have people coming in going, man, this toilet paper's doing a number on my ass, or they're like, I think I got major ass problems, and then they just find out it's just the quality of their toilet paper.
Mm-hmm.
But I mean, there must be, at least they're seeing a lot of asses. They're seeing more asses than most people.
Yeah. Are there sort of special, you know, sensitive ass toilet papers? Are there, you know, like you can get a sensitive toothpaste?
Yeah, I mean, I use a a satin handkerchief. That, you know, the one of those ones with like a string on it, like you would use to pass through like a trumpet valve to get all the stuff out of it. Like that.
And
I
is that what you do? Do you swallow one end of the string and then pull it all the way through?
Well, no. I hold onto the string and then I stuff the whole handkerchief into the buttock like that. And like I'm doing a magic trick.
Yeah. Okay.
And then I yank it out. Real fast. And I don't need to do it that fast. That's just for the showmanship. It actually really hurts. But that gets all that extra stuff. Because, you know, if you're wiping from the top, you're just... You know, you're just getting that surface stuff.
It
and then you're slowly wearing your way.
Doesn't it?
Yeah. But then if you go in and you pull out, then all that stuff, that brings everything out with it. And it also pushes in some stuff that may not have even wanted to come out, you know?
Oh, Alistair, I mean, you're preaching to the converted. I'm completely on board.
You know, it's either that. You know what I think I could also picture a proctologist using? One of those rubber-ended kind of like bowl scrapers.
Rubber-ended bowl scrapers?
You know, like a spatula kind of thing, but not like a spatula for flipping cheese.
Bowl. Yeah.
But like a kitchen implement.
Yeah.
But they use that on the inside. But they would have to he's like, oh no, I'm completely waxed. I get waxed twice a week, and then I just spatch it up.
I don't know if you would have to be waxed, because I mean, I don't see why that should be any less effective than the current toilet paper regime. I think those scrapers, you see them getting clearing off the edge of a bowl of batter, a cookie dough. You see the job they do. Absolutely.
You would trust that on top of hair?
I would trust that on top of hair. Yeah, well, I mean, why?
Pear.
I don't.
Did you say pear?
Yes.
You did say pear?
Yes. I said pear. I don't know if I said pear. I hope I didn't say pear.
God,
my boys correct me on stuff all the time, and I'm like, surely I didn't make that mistake. But they're so sure. They're so certain. And they've got that young brain, that young plastic brain.
Yeah, very flexible. They're capable of hearing things on ranges that we can't
begin to imagine.
We couldn't even begin to imagine the things that they hear us say. My kids always hear me. They always go, "What'd you say?" It's because I'm just like mouthing stuff to myself as I'm thinking through ideas. And I'm saying like, "No, you're a flaggity or something like that." And they go, "What?" And I go, "Oh, nothing."
Sounds like that's a good bit, though, that you're working on there.
No, you're a flaggity.
No, you're a flaggity. Flaggity Sam. Don't do a lot of that. I don't do a lot of talking out loud. But sometimes when I'm driving in the car, I just feel like I need to say something out loud. And then there was, of course, the famous time when I was on the toilet. And Carly was... I didn't realize, but Carly was quite close to the door. And I said, "Gold! Gold!" Because I was sitting on the toilet thinking about the gold rush, and I wanted to know what it would feel like to discover gold. So I just practiced saying gold, gold to myself.
But you said it like somebody who had seen somebody score a goal.
No, I think that's how you'd say gold, gold. You know, if you're discovering gold in the gold rush.
Yeah,
it's a strange thing to hear.
Where are you, Mr. Nugget?
Oh, Mr. Nugget. Yeah, that's right. Old Tom Waits.
He is old now, isn't he?
He is, I guess. Yeah.
He's
always seemed old though, so that's okay.
Yeah, he has actually. You're not entirely wrong about that.
He's just getting out ahead of it.
I can hear my. Do you think he was getting out ahead of it? He was like,
trying to control the narrative. This is going to come up.
It was always going to come up.
Always.
Andy, I mentioned earlier a bubble gum that makes you angry.
Did you? I wasn't listening.
Well, it was one of the first things. You started saying something. You were starting to talk about Yellowgram.
Ah, yes.
And I said bubble gum that makes you angry because I think, you know, if I was to put my businessman's hat on, and to be honest, I've only got a Sherlock Holmes hat, but I want you to know when I go to business meetings, that's what I wear now.
Yeah.
And I would say that you could look at the bubblegum industry and say, actually, it's quite superficial. There's only one emotion that it makes you feel, and that's deliciousness.
That famous emotion.
Okay, experiencing deliciousness. That's got to be an emotion.
I don't think that's an emotion. I think that's an experience. I don't think that's an emotion.
Well, okay, but maybe think about
maybe
this.
Maybe the, but, you know.
Okay, but Andy, look.
I might give you that it's a feeling. I'm not going to go so far as to say it's an emotion.
Do you think that an AI could experience it?
Deliciousness?
No. The experience of experiencing deliciousness.
So that's the test. It's the true test. When we can finally build a robot that can go, ooh, yum yum. Ooh, a little bit more, yum yum yum. Then that's the real Turing test.
I think we won't know that we've had a smart robot until you put a plate of Doritos in front of it. A bowl of Doritos in front of it, and it can't stop eating them. Then we'll say now it's smart. Like, I mean, we know that it'll have to go through that phase at some point. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Like, if it's going to get smarter than us, if you think that that's a dumb thing that we do, but it's obviously a thing that we do and that animals do, but rocks don't do.
Okay, good. That's a good distinction. Yep.
Rocks don't do it.
Birds don't do it. Bees don't do it. Let's not do it. Let's fall in
off a cliff.
That's so, true. Birds and bees don't fall off cliffs. That's true. Do you think birds have ever looked at man and envied our ability to fall off cliffs?
I mean, we all do that kind of stuff. We look at other people and we think, oh, they've got it all together.
Yeah.
It's so hard not to.
They see us plummeting to our deaths. They envied. Ever since Bird first looked at man and envied his ability to plummet to his death.
And so this is a future where they gain a little bit more intelligence and they decide to build a device that allows them to plummet off of cliffs as well.
Yeah.
Which is kind of looks a bit like the body of a plane, but without the wings.
But without the wings, and they climb inside, and they fold their
wings. But first they build
down
one with wings, and then they fail. They fly across the seas and stuff like that.
Of course.
They'll land really.
Glide effortlessly.
Glide down, yeah.
So just get ready.
I mean, I'm writing it down, Andy.
That's all I need to know. But all right, this is a robot that can't stop eating Doritos. You're right. I mean, I think that it must be, even if it's not the sign of true intelligence, it's the sign of, it is something that you have to pass through on your way to, you know, infinite.
To not doing it anymore. Now, because you could agree that a rock doesn't do it, but it doesn't do it because it's smart. It doesn't not do it because it's super smart. But I guess you would also have to make it so that the device gets its energy from eating. You know, the device on which the AI
is. Yeah, but
I
mean, it's arguable that we don't get our energy from eating Doritos.
Well, we do. If you're not eating anything else, and I'm not.
Yeah.
Like you do get your energy from Doritos. And so,
okay,
but then,
all right.
Well, I hadn't finished talking, Andy.
Fine.
We only think if you were a dog, okay, eating and you know, eating a whole bowl of Doritos is the smartest thing you could do. Because you're, you know, especially maybe if you're a wolf, it makes more sense at the moment, for just for simplicity's sake.
Mm-hmm.
If you come across a full bowl of Doritos, the smartest thing to do would be to eat a whole bowl of Doritos. Because you don't know where that next meal's coming from. You don't know where this meal came from. A whole bowl of Doritos?
Yeah.
You know?
I remember once coming when we had our dog, maybe, it was a Staffy. We had her down in Tasmania for family Christmas. And she, Dad had a full turkey cooling down in the other room and just on the table. And she must have gone in there, and out of wondering what it was up on the table, she would have been quite interested. She reached up and like grabbed the side of that aluminium tray that it was sitting on, like that, you know, that flexible aluminium tray, and just pulled the side of that so that there was a little channel and all the turkey grease was pouring down and just dripping off the table. And she was just sitting there just with her mouth open, just eating this stream of turkey fat that was pouring into her mouth. And
it would have also been delicious juices.
Mm. Yeah. Yeah. Delicious juices and fat, all of that just streaming into her mouth. And she must have thought that she'd somehow contacted God, or that she was in some pure plane of existence.
I mean, it was like she would have found, she's like, this is the fountain of youth. This is, I mean,
exactly.
roasted bird juices is probably up there as one of the best things you could, like, you reduce that. That's like, you reduce that. You put that on top of the turkey. It makes with, if you had the option of drinking those juices and eating the bland turkey, right? Like, this is way better.
Yeah, it's demonstrably the best bit.
Like, you put it, you reduce it and you put that on the turkey to make the turkey tolerable.
We put that back on top.
Yeah.
Right, as the first thing that you taste before you have to slog through the turkey.
Turkey, yeah. And the turkey has that thing in it, the chemical in it, that makes you sleepy, right? If Seinfeld.
But from in her brain as well, she would have had no reason to think that would ever end, I think, right? Like,
that's true.
Would she have been like, well, this might, as far as I know, this might just be my existence from this point on.
That's right. Just found a, like, a natural turkey juice spring.
Imagine if we discovered that.
It'd be amazing. And we find out that's actually where the turkeys get their juice from.
Oh, of course. Makes sense. They couldn't just make that themselves. They're just a dumb bird. How would they know?
Exactly. And as humans, we only are capable of, you know, making so many of our own vitamins. Right? We can synthesize our own vitamins, but not all of them. We can't make vitamin C. Maybe it's the same thing for turkey with their juices.
Vitamin C. I mean, this is like Aristotle's theory of knowledge, that all knowledge, all learning was just remembering. Okay?
That's right.
Maybe all juices are just a type of regurgitation of it, or, you know, passing through of a juice that you got from somewhere else.
Yeah. Well, you know, because also I know chefs, you know, I know a chef who's talked about, like, oh, chickens don't taste like chicken anymore. You know, like they're not good like they used to be, and it's hard to find a chicken that actually tastes good and things like that. And so it could be the same for turkeys, and you could imagine that maybe it's because we've, with you know, factory farming and all that kind of stuff, we've taken them away from accessing the turkey juice spring, you know, which is where they would get their flavor from. They go there, it's like a pilgrimage, it's like going to Mecca, they drink from the thing, you know. And they go there, and then they get filled with turkey juice, and then they're ready to be on a silver platter and to fall into a dog's mouth.
Do you think
circle of life? Yeah,
I'm sure people have made this observation before, but surely it's not a good, like, from an evolutionary perspective, it's not a good idea for a turkey to walk around saying gobble, gobble, gobble all the time, right? Mm. That would be like a sandwich walking around saying munch, 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 eat, eat, eat. You know, you're planting the thought in people's minds. Mm-hmm.
Yes, a bowl of soup saying slurp, slurp, slurp.
I mean, that's not, from a soup's perspective, there's no evolutionary advantage. Why would it do that?
No, it won't. Now we don't know whether or not, like The Rock, it does it out of stupidity or like the AI out of wisdom. Perfect intent.
I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me, because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Intelligence.
I wonder if there's a stand-up bit in Turkey saying gobble, gobble, gobble.
Andy, of course.
Maybe they're not that delicious. It's just that they just plant
they're just really good at neuro-linguistic programming.
Exactly. They're good at framing the debate. They're good at NLP.
Framing the debate.
Said.
Eat us. Eat us.
That's the debate.
I mean, it has technically probably led to more turkeys being bred than there ever were throughout history.
Wow, that's true. And if that's their objective, and I believe it is, yeah? Those genes, they knew what they were doing. They knew what they were doing. Smart.
Smart turkey, baby. Smart turkey, baby. Do you think that for $10,000, do you think if, like, let's say a baby turkey was just hatched from an egg?
Yes.
Okay. Do you think that you could swallow a live baby turkey?
I don't think I could for $10,000.
$10,000.
I don't think I could.
$12,000.
Oh, okay. Hang on. Now things are getting interesting.
Think of it, Andy. You could get another secondhand car.
So I'm $12,000. I mean, look, $12,000. I'm not saying that wouldn't be really helpful. I'm trying to be like a bird, you know, cause like, or like a pelican that swallows things whole, or you know, one of those, or a python.
Yeah.
Trying to just get it down. It's alive, right? Is it alive?
Yeah, it's alive.
Oh, I lost it.
You'd have to swallow it like a bird would, probably, you know?
I don't think I could.
No?
I mean, what out of respect, would
try
swallow
it
like a bird.
Would you even try it for $100,000?
Would you?
Try it for $100,000?
A live baby turkey. I don't think you could, Alistair.
If you can swallow it successfully enough, you might be able to regurgitate it back up.
I'll deal with that when I get to it. Alistair.
Because that would stop it pecking at your insides.
I don't think I could get it down my throat. I don't think there's any point in trying.
You'd have a few weeks of practice. What would you swallow to try to practice? Let's say, first you'd probably try just eating large chunks of banana or something like that.
Yeah, I mean, you really need to try and swallow like a golf ball covered in toothpicks or something, I think.
No, I wouldn't try that.
Well, they've got those claws and beaks and stuff, right? Like, that's what the challenge is.
Yeah, I mean, I don't think the challenge is that. I think it's just swallowing a big live thing and knowing that it's going to die inside of you while, you know, and it's going to be really hard and horrible.
Yeah, oh, fine. Okay. You look like the good guy. I'm mostly worried about the claws and the beak. And the feathers as well. I think they'd be hard to swallow. I think they'd be very dry and sort of. Well, if it just come out of the egg, it might still have a bit of egg goop on it. So
yeah,
that might make
maybe
it
the
easier.
Egg goo could help.
Anyway, Alistair.
If you were going to do it, what would you drink with it to try to get it down? Just water? Or do you think maybe a glass of oil would help more?
Glass of turkey juices. We've established that that's what you got to have. Get the turkey nice and...
You know, I feel like this is kind of what's missing from America right now. Because there's so much like, you know, on all sides, there's always people trying to offend other sides and things like that. And I feel like, you know, people already look at America and they look at competitive eating and they see that as like the horribleness. But then, you know, of you know, like an excess and, you know, sort of an affront to the world and all that kind of stuff.
Yep.
But I think, you know, the people on the right in America are not necessarily against that. But what if what the people were swallowing was competitive aborted fetus swallowing?
Oh, my God. Oh, my God.
It's one of the most horrible things I've ever thought of.
Yeah. Yeah, it's certainly one of the most horrible things I've ever heard.
Yeah. You know, and I mean, I don't want to just write it down straight away. I mean, I want us to explore it. But also, you did say you needed to have a short episode.
Yeah. In fact, we should go to words from a listener.
Okay. I've just got to write something down, Andy. I'm not telling you what.
Okay. Gosh, imagine if the three words from the listener are aborted fetus swallowing.
Well.
Wait. I thought we were going to get out of this. I thought I was pulling the ripcord on my parachute, but actually I was pulling a loose thread on the parachute that caused the whole thing to unravel.
And I thought you were going to turn that into swallowing babies. But no. Okay. So, Andy, we'll go to three words from a listener. Do you want to guess which listener sent in three words today? Somebody whose name that
Yannick
you know.
Yannick Rausch.
Let me have a look. I'm sorry. No, this person, we only know her by one name. But I guess you only know all these
Lizzie.
People by one name. It is Lizzie.
Lizzie.
Yes. And so.
Thank you, Lizzie.
Lizzie, thank you so much, Lizzie. And so Lizzie sent in three words. Would you like to guess what those words are?
Okay, the first word is foliage. Foliage.
Now, Andy, do you really think it's going to be that?
All right. Okay, sorry. Trousers.
Andy, come on. This is not what you actually think the word is going to be.
Pointless. Is it pointless?
No, Andy. All three, no. It is Gemma.
Gemma? Okay.
You weren't even close on any of them.
Gemma?
Also, I had written it down poorly, and I needed to go and find the email to double-check what that first word was, because I thought it said German.
Okay. Gemma? Radio?
No, Andy. It's Aerosmith.
Gemma, Aerosmith. Okay, last word, Lagrange. Lagrange.
No, robot.
Gemma, Aerosmith, robot. Is Gemma Aerosmith a person? Is that like someone in the discourse that we should know who that is? Gemma Aerosmith? It sounds like Gemma Aerosmith could be like, you know, famous for having controversial opinions.
There is an actress called Gemma Aerosmith who was on the Tracy Ullman show.
Really?
Yeah.
Are they known beyond that? Are they famous in some way?
Well, I mean, the Tracy Ullman show, you know, did have some reach.
Yeah.
You know, she's also on, well, no, so she's not just on the Tracy Ullman show. She's also on Tracy Breaks the News. She's also on Doctor Who.
Robot. Doctor Who. Okay, interesting. I mean, maybe
Staff Let's Flats. She plays a Smethwick's customer.
Really?
And on Hitman. And she plays Flick. And she plays Dr. Heidi on Rosie Malloy Gives Up Everything. And she plays Various on the Friday Night Comedy from BBC Radio 4 podcast series.
This various. Oh. Various is a great name.
Oh, it's the same. I think it's the same character she played on Tracy Breaks the News.
Oh. Okay, so she doesn't have that much range. Seems like she's played this various person a lot.
Yeah.
You're like, can you try something a bit different? Various. Various.
Yeah.
Would it kill you? Okay, so I'm assuming that's what Lizzie is referring to. Gemma Arrowsmith, the actor. And then the idea of replacing Gemma Arrowsmith with a robot is maybe sort of inherent in this thing. But, I mean...
I guess you could picture, you know, people in the future deciding that they need to go back in time and replace Gemma Arrowsmith. Gemma Arrowsmith with some kind of mechanical version so that they can control. You know, let's say they wanted to change. Let's say this person doesn't have that much impact on the world, has some impact on the world, but it's like they've calculated that it's a safe amount of impact on the world that you could make them make slightly different decisions or even slightly different movements that shifts the world gently towards a different
future. It turns out that they actually have all way more influence just because of where they exist in sort of in-between things.
Yeah.
They are this tipping point that you can press and make an enormous change, sort of a butterfly effect.
Well, if you're in the future and let's say time travel is government owned or whatever, or it's regulated in such a way that you can only do time travel in such a way that it preserves everybody who is still alive today, is alive at that time when it happens. Anything that you do back in the past, you can't do anything that means that none of those people are alive.
Right. Yep.
Right. And so all those people have to still be alive. So they've calculated that Gemma Arrowsmith, the person who plays Various on Tracy Breaks the News, has enough impact on the world, but not so much that when she you know, let's say she gets a cronut instead of a crookie, right? And that does change things, right? It does mean that instead of war there is peace.
Yes, right. And
right?
So there's peace, but nobody else extra has lived or died as a result of this peace.
That's right. There's peace, but things
doesn't
are
sound
still
like it
bad
been
enough.
A very bad war.
Andy, it's there's peace, but things are still bad enough.
Right.
That nobody different is born or dies.
Okay. Well, that's good. I'm glad we used time travel for this. What about a sort of a world in which we use time travel for really minor things, right? That you like using time travel, you go to a sandwich shop, right? And you order a sandwich, okay? And then they use time travel so that the sandwich is already made, right? As soon as you ask for it. They don't have to make the sandwich. They go back in time and they change history such that the sandwich is there already.
Is already in your
when
pocket.
When you come in. It's already in your pocket. A nice pocket sandwich. That's a great idea.
A nice pocket sandwich. That's what it's called. That's the name of the place. A nice pocket sandwich.
Someone
it's
should
funny.
Work on inventing a sandwich that you can just keep loose in your pocket. Because there must be a combination of ingredients and a certain type of bread and designed in such a way that you can.
And we're not talking about a toasted sandwich that's like sealed all the way around. Fresh bread sandwich that holds together.
Yes.
And that won't pick up fluff and things like that that's already in
and
your
won't
pocket.
Leave crumbs.
And won't leave crumbs. It's like a you know, a camper who shows up, camps, and then takes everything.
Yes.
It doesn't take anything from the landscape, but it also doesn't leave anything.
Leave nothing but footprints, take nothing but memories.
That's right.
But even doesn't leave footprints. The sandwich leaves no footprints. I was thinking about what if a robot company builds a robot, right? But the robot, it's a humanoid robot, and it can replace a person. But the only person that this robot can replace is you for some reason. They've built a robot that can do everything you can do. They can't build robots that can do any, take the place of anyone else in the world. But they're like, we haven't been able to build a humanoid robot that can do anybody else's role. But we have been able to build an Alistair Tremblay Birch bot. And it can do what Alistair does exactly.
Yeah.
Just as well as he does.
Yeah, I mean, I don't think that that would be useful to that many people.
No, it isn't. But this is, like, after all their years and billions of dollars, this is what they've been able to create.
Oh, that would, you know what that would be really sad, is that finding out that they've tried to build this robot. So, yeah, and then they've made one, and it is exactly you. And it turns out that it's, like, that when they describe it, it is you. They didn't mean to make you.
Oh, yeah, okay.
Right? They didn't That's mean great. To make you, but they made a robot, and it is you. Right.
Yeah, this is what we're able to create.
And you're watching this on the news, and then you hear that the stocks are plummeting for this company as they've released this thing, and everybody is hugely disappointed in this product.
I mean,
they said, "Well,
what about lots of people buy one, right? And then there's one in every house, okay, one of you in every house, but then people discover really quickly that they don't want them." And they're throwing them out and they can't get rid of them. You're still you, but now, like, you go out and there's, like, all these you robots, like, lying in the street or smashed up or used as, like, boat anchors or something like that.
Yeah, I mean, I think, and then I think there's like, a film in this, because then it's, like, this person wants to get to the bottom of finding out why a robot that looks like them was made, you know, or like whether or not it was made. And then it'll turn out it was just a mixture of a fish and a light bulb, like in The Simpsons, the fish bulb thing there. You don't remember that? Mr. Sparkle?
I don't remember that one.
How the Japanese company had a logo that looks just like Homer. It was a fish bulb situation. We just took a pile of shit and took the DNA.
No, I think that is funny. I think because it has to behave like you as well, right? It has all your traits.
It's so unlikable. Like, you know, couldn't they
We've
make
built an unlikable robot?
You know, and like there's all these like the people like who
it's
are
very
being taken
needy
care of them by the, you know, like they use it in old folks' homes and like to take care of the elderly, and the elderly are choosing to go for voluntary assisted dying instead.
Yeah.
Because they're like, well, I don't want to stick around if it means this.
Everywhere you go, people assume you're one of those robots, and you have to keep being like, no, I'm me. I'm a real one.
Oh, and they kick you. They kick you on the street because they're like, tip him over. He's just a stupid robot with a terrible personality.
Yeah. You're always trying to rip your circuits out. There's a panel in his back. Take it off. You can rip his circuits out. They're always scrabbling at your back.
Scrabbling
quite nice,
at my
actually, because you've got an itchy back.
Yeah,
but
that's nice. And that's one of the things that they hated about the thing as well. The robot has an itchy back as well. That's always saying, scratch my back, scratch my back. I'm Alistair Tremblay Birchall, or whatever it is. They maybe doesn't use the name, but. Andy, I'll take us through the sketch ideas. I hope that was okay, Lizzie. I feel like we got three really great sketches out of that.
three all equally good.
Yeah. There we go. Okay. Well, Andy, let me take you through the sketch ideas for today.
Please do.
For episode 217, maybe 417 of Two in the Think Tank. We've got Yellowgram. It's a yelling choir you can hire to yell at people for you. It's a big group of men who yell in harmony, not nice harmonies. And also sometimes you can just see them on the street doing yells from the Great American Yell Book.
Yeah.
And then we have the concept of what toilet paper do proctologists use? 9 out of 10 proctologists recommend
wipe with.
Yeah. Birds build device so that they can plummet off cliffs like humans, because they've always looked at humans and envied our ability. They have the turkey juice spring. this is an idea that we've, where we came up with a thought of what if all turkey juice comes from an actual natural source.
All right.
Then we have the turkey gobble, which is them who are good at neuro-linguistic programming, and it's probably just an evolutionary accident that has led to their evolutionary success. But the important thing is that it led to a lot of them being bred, and that's all that their genes want. And then you've got
their bred, inbred, because they've been crumbed. They're in sandwich. They're in a sandwich.
That's right.
Turkeys are inbred.
A crumbed turkey sandwich. And then there's a competitive abortive fetus eating. And then there's regulating time travel so that no one can die. I think there's some idea in there. Also, Adam, did I ever tell you I thought that it would be cool? I think this is something you could definitely pitch to a TV show, which is an anthology TV show where it's just time travel based love stories.
I think that's
an idea is mostly because I think that it's a format that would sell to internationals, and I'm just at a point where would want to make a bit of money.
You want to sell a format?
I want to sell a format. Sell off Ormat. And then we've got
Alistair.
We've got sandwich shop that uses time travel to get you a sandwich now by changing the past. It's called Sandwich in Your Pocket. And then we got robot company that makes a robot that looks like you and everybody hates it. Exactly like you. Not just looks like you, but exactly like you. Andy, should we go to the song?
In every way. Thank you so much for listening to In the Think Tank. It's wonderful that you do this and continue to do this. You can buy copies of Gustav and Henry from our online shop, which are linked in the show
notes.
Can
I just give a big hello to the audience? I'm going to say it now. 1, 2, 3.
Hello.
And so there you go. Big hello from me to the audience.
And we
love you.
You.
Bye.
Bye.
Acast powers the world's best podcasts. Here's a show that we recommend.
Hi, I'm Ando.
And I'm Fer.
And we host Niñas Bien Podcast.
We want to invite you to listen to our show.
Niñas Bien means good girls in Spanish, but you have to know that this is not a podcast for good girls.
Or for girls at all. It is a comedy podcast, so everyone is welcome to listen.
We talk about sex, relationships, technology.
We recommend movies and TV shows and discuss pop culture in general.
And there is Chisme Ajeno too.
A section we have just to gossip about everyone. So you'll find something you like here.
And you'll practice your Spanish.
The cleanest Spanish you'll find, we promise.
And if you already hablas español,
vamos a ser tus nuevas amigas. We'll be your friends for the non-Spanish speakers.
New episodes every Monday and Thursday.
Hosted by Acast and available to all audio platforms.
Acast helps creators launch, grow, and monetize their podcasts everywhere. Acast.com.